Hello, listeners, and welcome again to our final episode in our four-part podcast, A Look into Multicultural Education. Today, we're going to be talking about our fourth stage synthesis with Miss Megan McCall. Hello, Megan.
Hi, how are you all?
Hopefully, everybody's doing great. So, this final segment, synthesis, is going to ask Megan to take a look into her cultural autobiography into creating that by turning to fragments of experience and connecting them to a larger political and cultural context.
Okay.
So basically, in layman's terms, that means that we're going to ask Megan to look at those pieces and parts of who she is and how that has played a role in the larger picture of schools and the school system and how teaching, what teaching means to her. So, Megan, just to start you off, how do you think, like, your values and beliefs have made you who you want to be? Like, what belief do you have in the school system and its abilities to produce opportunity advancement for students?
So you're kind of like asking, like, where do I, like, what do I see in the purpose of school?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So my belief on the purpose of school is school systems are meant to provide opportunities for students for success, giving them the emotional needs that they need, meeting their behavior needs, physical needs, anything that gives them the real life aspects that prepares them for success for their future outside of the school system, going into their career, setting them up for jobs. So that's what I think creates the identity of what a school system should do for students.
So because you think that in a school system, how does that bleed into what you want the classroom to look like?
The classroom I want to look like for teachers, students, the relationship between me and my students, I consider myself authoritative figure. So that means I will give my students the respect I will gain their respect by giving the respect that I give them. So having the mutual respect within the classroom, giving my students expectations and rules, but allowing them to share their feelings. And then same goes with the student-student relationships. They're going to respect one another by giving and receiving the same amount. So
how comfortable are you right now within working in an educational system?
I think I'd be very comfortable. I consider myself prepared for the environment, but with being prepared enough as an aspect of what I've learned. Comfortable with boundaries of people. I had a hard time adjusting to that this year. I consider myself comfortable around people who have the same mindset as me. And I think a lot of people can say that is they agree with people who think the same ways that they do. And I think it's important to note that I can have conversations with other people who might think differently than me because I'm able to put on those goggles and have the different perspectives to have the conversation that needs to be had.
Okay, so I heard you mention a minute ago, like, having an authoritative classroom, like, you want that mutual respect between your students, but how does that, when you walk into a classroom, play a role, and, like, do you want your students to be personally accountable for their own selves, or do you think there should be a collective responsibility?
I think it's a mixture of both. I think students need to have a self, responsibility to their own actions within the classroom, but I also think it's important to note that if my classroom as a whole is feeling some type of way, then I need to put on my goggles, as I say, as to what do I need to do to best help them. So, for instance, every day when I walk in the room, I, as an educator, will have the perspective of how my students, their body language and how they may say good morning to me. Or if my students come in and have their heads down, and I know that they're struggling with something or something that's happened to them in their recent events of life. Let's say my lesson is on weather patterns. My lesson that day is going to change. I need to adapt to the differences and of the curriculum and maybe talk about emotions and expressions of what's happened in their lives. Take a step outside of the curriculum and adapt to what's happening within those real life experiences. Like I said, relating into why I think school systems provide opportunities for students for success is because we need to adjust to those real life experiences to help with their emotional, behavioral, and physical parts of life.
All right, so you seem like you're a really caring, you know, teacher. You're going to be that caring educator. But what I really want to know is how do you plan on making your students accountable for their own actions? Like, are you going to make it a collective responsibility? Are they all going to be punished for one student's actions because that's a motivation? Or do you plan on finding personal accountability and making each student find a reason to complete something because of their own personal motivation? What do you think works best in the classroom?
I think the own personal motivation would work best in the classroom because all students are different. They're going through different things. So I think it's easier to maybe have a conversation with one student to get them focused and find their interest and get them motivated, whatever it takes for that individual student. And then if you need to, as a whole collaborative, you can adjust your lesson. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Very. So you said you talked about individuality. So to go about your values and beliefs and having individuals in your classroom who are different, what are some of your beliefs in regard to, like, equity and social justice? Like, do you think there are issues revolving around those in the classroom?
Absolutely. I think there's a difference between equity and equality, and I think it's important to note that having an equitable education for students is what you're teaching them, and what is, I don't want to use the term fair, but what is going to, allow your students to get the different perspectives that they need to learn those real life experiences.
Okay. So giving your students the growth that they need using the measures that take that. So yes. What you're saying is you want to give your students opportunities, but you don't think that the best way to make all your students reach the same goal is using the same methods.
Right. I think it needs to be very adjustable, and the methods need to be expressed in different ways that are going to interest your students. So one day it might be something completely different. And like I said, touching base on your individual students, even in one lesson, you might have different methods. So
very good. All right. So we've heard a lot about, you know, what your identity is and your values and beliefs in the classroom. So what parts of your identity do you think we'll emphasize as a teacher?
When you mean emphasize, do you mean like my personal beliefs or like within my identity? Or I'm not quite sure what you're asking.
So about. It's you. We're answering questions about you. So what parts of your identity that we have talked about in these four parts of our podcast series, what parts of your identity will you need to emphasize as a teacher? What do you think are your strongest qualities that you bring to the classroom?
So I think my strongest qualities within the classroom that I emphasize for my identity would be my willingness for students. And I think it's important to note that teachers have the power for your students. Like the attitude that you have in your classroom will change their attitude to learn. So parts of my identity that I think I might need to rethink on would be allowing my perspective to grow. Even though I'm very caring and passionate, I still follow for some myths and misconceptions within the classroom to help my students grow. So I think that's what I need to work on part of my identity.
Okay. All right. So we've talked about your multicultural education and this cultural autobiography that you come about, and I think that you've done a beautiful job in the last four parts at defining yourself. So what, just to top it all off and to tie it all together, what is your definition of a multicultural education?
So I think there is so much more to a multicultural education than just teaching the given curriculum. following those guidelines. I think, I believe a real multicultural education classroom is designed to bring in these experiences, the trust and connections between teachers and students, and even the people within your community. This is an education where we acknowledge and embrace others' differences regarding race, religion, socioeconomic status, ethnicity, sexual orientation, just a few of the terms and topics that we've discussed a part of my past. These topics to make students feel comfortable within the learning environment, and perspectives should be constantly adjusted when within the ever-changing classroom, so adapting and preparing these students for the success that they're going to need within their real-life experiences.
Okay, I agree with that wholeheartedly. So that ends our 4-part podcast series. We thank you all for listening and for getting a little bit of insight into the cultural autobiography of Megan. And I'd like to thank Megan for answering the questions as competently and as fairly as she can. We hope you have enjoyed, and thank you again, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, guys.